Karl Pisser, a media, the nobles and princes of the province came before him, and he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty. Many days, even an hundred and 80 days, up around 6 months. When these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Susan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were white, green, blue hangings, fastened with cords, and fine linen and purple, with silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. They gave them drink in vessels of gold, vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, none did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. And Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house that belonged to King Ahasuerus. Notice verse 12. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment. By his chamberlain, therefore, was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And verse 19, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him that admit it, be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that if it be not be offered, that it be not offered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. This is a very interesting subject. Last week I mentioned the fact that I would speak on the quest for a queen. But when the hostages were freed, I began thinking, well, I think we have a remarkable parallel in this very book. So that's why we put it in the paper, that freedom is more than a word, it's an experience. And we'll point that out as we go along. This little book of Esther has five characters, I would say, that are outstanding and very prophetic. First of all, you have the king. Now, certainly, we look at a man like this in his official capacity as a type of God, his position. Not his moral condition, but this king was a powerful king, ruled over 127 provinces, and so he was a mighty monarch in those days. But think of the more mighty God himself. Then you have Vashti, the queen, and she is set aside because of disobedience. And Vashti is a picture of the nation of Israel, that were set aside because they did not obey the gospel, they did not obey the message of Christ their Messiah. Then you have a queen, a young queen, Esther, introduced. Here you have a type of the church. When Israel was set aside 1900 years ago because of the rejection of their Messiah and the destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70 under Titus, the Jews were set aside and the nation or a new gospel was preached unto all the Gentiles, and the church is brought in. And as Esther was a lovely young lady, so the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Who was responsible for this remarkable situation? Mordecai. A lovely type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is Haman? Satan. A very good type of Satan The one who is opposed to Mordecai and tried to put him to death. So you have these five remarkable characters in this book, and if you look at it in the light I've mentioned it, it gives you a lovely outline. But this morning I want to speak right on the subject of the feast. This feast was proclaimed by the king. And what a feast it was. It lasted, I've already said, something like 6 months. And there was royal wine in abundance. And the banquet was for all. It was for all. Royal wine in abundance, the very best. One can't help thinking of what the New Testament said. Christ says, I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Here on this occasion, there was wine in abundance. And wine in Scripture speaks of joy, of peace, of pardon, of rest, and life. Now that feast ended long ago. But Christ has set a table. He has a feast to which he's inviting whosoever will. And this wine will never cease. The joy, the peace, the pardon, the rest, the life that you receive when you come to Christ is forever. This is from heaven's winery. This will never cease. And it says, none did compel. No force was made. In other words, no one was dragged to that feast. No one was driven to that feast. The proclamation was made. It was up to the individual to accept the invitation and attend the feast. And that's true of the gospel. The gospel we preach today is to whosoever will. God is offering you salvation, fast and full and free, through the precious blood of the Son of God who was slain on Calvary. God's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to force you. You've got to make the decision. God will do the dragging and the forcing in the day of judgment. Then he'll pull you out of your grave and he'll drag you before the throne of judgment. There's when God will use force. Not in grace. It's to whosoever will. It's entirely up to you. It says none did compel. The king could have compelled. He had the power to, but he didn't. None did compel. And friend, God could, if he wanted to, make you believe. If he did that to you, he'd have to do it to all. But Jesus Christ wants those in heaven who are there by their own voluntary will. The thrill that Jesus Christ is going to get out of those who will be in heaven because they chose him in preference that all the world had to offer. They chose him in preference to all the devil had to offer. They chose him in preference to what their own lustful heart wanted. They chose Christ. That's what's going to fill his heart. That's the point. None did compel. You know, the invitation on one this occasion was despised by Vashti. And that was a serious situation. She despised it. And you know that our son today despising the invitation of Jesus Christ. And little did she realize what that little act, it wasn't little in one sense, but what that little act, that simple refusal, little did she realize what sad consequences that would mean. She thought, well, I'm not going to join with this big feast, I'm going to get some of the ladies off at the same time, and we're going to have them do our thing. She little realized that that cost her the throat of being sick of the king. Just a slight refusal, just a disobedience to the command of the king. Little do men and women realize how serious it is for you to say no to the gospel. For you to say no, just don't believe. Just refuse to accept Christ. The solemn consequences will be the lake of fire forever. And that's, I never had the slightest idea that her refusal to go to that feast would have cost her so much. I think what Jonathan said to David, thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. Vashti's seat as queen was taken by another Esther. And friend, God is in this world by his Holy Spirit, and he's going to complete the church. The church is going to be composed of so many bricks. The body of Christ is going to be composed of so many members. And when that complement is completed, Christ is going to come and fetch his church to heaven. And it's going to be complete. And if you are not in that church, someone else will take your place. Yes, Esther, you can decline the invitation of the king, but someone else is going to replace you. And she's a lovely young priest. Friend, I don't know, but if you reject Jesus Christ this morning, and he's knocked at some of your hearts many times, God may decide this morning that you've had enough. You've had many opportunities. That Spirit of God may lead your heart and go somewhere in Africa, some place in America, and win a poor sinner to Christ who heard the gospel for the first time. To the young lady here, Christmas time, who preached on John 3:16. The first time she was here at the chapel, she got saved when she went back home. To John 3:16. When I heard about that, I thought, isn't that something? Well, people have been listening to me at that chapel for years and years and years. And someone comes in and hears the gospel for the first time and accepts. The trouble is, you've heard it so often, your heart is getting so hard. And God may be fed up one of these days and pass you by and give an invitation to someone else. You may hear it for the first time. God says, my spirit shall not always strive at night, and thou shalt be missed in that day. When the wedding feast is in session, thou shalt be missed, and thy seat shall be empty. And someone else got the place that you could have had, had you only believed. You know, when you think of Esther, how she replaced Vashti, Esther was just a poor girl in a sense, of lowly birth. And by the way, what I'm telling you this morning happened in the very place where the hostages were released by them. This Persia, the same part of the world as where Iran is. And so Esther, she was a little Jewish girl. And in captivity, she was an orphan. Her parents had died. She was under the sentence of death, as were all the Jews, chapter 3. Yes. But here is Esther. She saw the situation, not only the situation relative to herself, but all the nations. What did she do? She humbled herself. She repented. She mourned. She wept. When she saw her condition, a lovely dream. When it dawned on her, judgment that was hanging over her and the nation. Then she began to plead and pray, mourned and she wept. She was loved by the king, You find that over in chapter 2 and 17. But she made a venture that could have cost her life. In those days, no one was allowed to go into the presence of the king unless invited. Or on a rare occasion, if they were seen in the court, just going into the royal chamber, if they were seen by the king, and the king had delight in them, he would extend his golden scepter favor. And that's what happened. Esther realized that not only her life, but the life of the whole Jewish nation was at stake. And she said to Mordecai, I will win before the king, and if I perish, I perish. If the king does not delight in me, I'm gone. He'll give a command for me to be taken and put to death. I ventured in where no one dare venture unless it is the pleasure of the king. So, you have a point where she ventured. And sure enough, when the king looked and saw Queen Esther, she had favor in his sight, and he extended the golden scepter, and she touched it. And then he says, what wilt thou have, Queen Esther? It shall be granted thee. Half of my king. Oh yes, here's a venture of faith. And friends, that's how you get saved. If you humble yourself, come before the King of Kings, and if you exercise faith, and up to now, he's favoring you, he could banish you, but he's not going to do it now. He's giving you the opportunity to be saved. He's extending the golden scepter. Will you by faith touch it? And like Esther, be accepted by the king. Who was responsible for all this situation? Mordecai. He's the one who had brought up Esther after her parents had died. And there was a kinship here. He's the one that was responsible for the Jewish nation being saved on that occasion from the edict of death that hung over them. Mordecai is a lovely type of the Lord Jesus. He was despised. Mordecai was despised. A little Jew, he must have been an old man. There he was each day, seen at the gate. And he was despised. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he not despised? It tells us in the Bible. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And not only that, this Mordecai, he wouldn't bow to Haman. For when Haman passed the capital, everyone else bowed to Haman, not Mordecai. He stood erect. And that was brought to the attention of Haman. You know, that little Jew, he didn't bow when you went by. And Haman checked and had it verified. And when he found out that Mordecai wouldn't bow to him, he got his mind made up, I'm going into the king and I'm get permission to kill not only Mordecai, but all the Jews. Haman, Mordecai would not bow. Jesus Christ would not bow to Satan. In the fourth of Matthew, the devil paraded all the world. He said, all this will I give to you. Fall down and worship me. Jesus Christ wouldn't bow. He wouldn't bow to Satan. Then again, Mordecai wept over the city. Jesus Christ wept over the city of Jerusalem. And Mordecai, he suffered in soul how Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered in soul at Calvary. You know, there's an interesting situation that developed right here. Well, no more decay, I was exalted. But something happened, and I love to read of this incident. When Mordecai went to the king, he had one thing in mind. I'll get permission from the king. I've already erected gallows in my yard. And I'll get the permission to hang Mordecai on those gallows. I'll get rid of that king, that Mordecai, that little Jew, and all the people of the Jews. And so that night the king couldn't sleep. Strange. Couldn't sleep. So he called one of the chamberlains. He said, read the chronicle. Read the record of the past year in my regime. What's been going on around here? And of all things, they read about how two men plotted against the king to put him to death. And Mordecai heard about the plot. And so Mordecai reported the matter unto the king. And while the king was reading there, unable to sleep, he was reading about the condition of the kingdom, and he came upon this. He'd forgotten it completely. He said, what's been done to Mordecai for this? And those standing by said nothing. Well, he said, they've got to do something. He said, who's in the court? They said, Haman's in the court. Haman had come in to get permission to hang Mordecai and to kill the Jews. The king said, tell Haman to come in. And the king said, Haman, what shall be done unto the man the king delighteth to honor? Oh, more of this Haman, that just appealed to him. You could see his chest swelling and his head going up. Who would the king delight to honor more than me? I've been promoted. Who would the king delight to honor and promote more than me? And the king says, Haman, go and get my horse and get one of my royal robes and get the crown royal and put it on Mordecai and lead him through the city of the capital on my horse and announce this as you go. This is being done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. My, what a shame. Poor Haman. He left so depressed. He had to do what the king said. And he got the king's horse. He had Mordecai attired in a royal robe and a crown. And he led it through the capital. And he had to announce it. Thus shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. That was the beginning of the end of Haman. For in that chapter 2 later, when Queen Esther came in before the king to make it known to the king the end that was planned against her and the people of the Jews, she said, Haman was conquered. And the king said, and looking in the haze, your response. And somebody spoke up and said, there are gallows in Haman's yard. He built them to hang Mordecai on. And the king said, hang him on! Yes. The whole table was prepared. And instead of him, Mordecai. He's a prominent one now. And that's a type of Jesus Christ. And see, time's coming when the tables are going to be turned. And I mentioned last week, the word God is not mentioned in this little book. Yet God's hand in whom operated is not more evident in any other book than the Bible in the book. How God maneuvered and worked all this about. And so, you have Mordecai and the wonderful place he occupies in this wonderful little book of Esther. And going back to what we mentioned, how Mordecai replaced Satan. Christ replaced Jesus Christ. Christ took from Satan what Satan took from Adam. In the beginning, it was Satan who robbed Adam of all the blessings God gave him. And the Lord Jesus has said concerning him, I restored that which I took not away. I had nothing to do with sin's entrance and what man lost through the entrance of sin, but I'm going to restore it back. He destroyed him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered us who through fear of death will all our lifetime subject to bondage. What man lost through sin by Adam, he can regain, and much more through Jesus Christ. That's the story of this lovely little book of Esther. The remarkable event. There was the announcement of doom, and I'm going to read it to you. Verse 3 and 13, the message of death, and the letters were sent by Pope. Haman was behind all this. In all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. What a day of gloom. What a day of sadness. But you know that day came. Just because of what Mordecai did and what Esther did, and the king says reversed. Then the message of life went up. What a wonderful message of life. I didn't read it to you. I'm going to read to you and not read you now. It says over in chapter 9, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and provinces that would have assaulted them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey upon one day in all the provinces of the king of Ethiopia, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. And verse 16, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Here in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for fear of the Jews fell upon them. What a reversal of this situation. That's through the gospel. The message of doom with us when Adam and Eve sinned. All of sin will come short to the glory of God. As in Adam, all die. All under sin. But at the cross, Jesus Christ brought a message of life. And it's very significant of the first verse of chapter 6. It says, on that night, what a dark night it was for the Jews. Chapter 8, verse 1, on that day. What is this? The message of death on that night. The message of day, light and liberty. That's where our heart is tonight. What an illustration we've had in the past week. The thrill of freedom. And in the very same area, 510 years before Christ, freedom is more than a word. Freedom is an experience. For those 444 days, every one of those hostages thought of freedom. They longed for freedom. Millions in the world were praying for their freedom. But they didn't have it until January the 20th. Their plane passed out the Iranian airspace. At last, we How wonderful is this? Let me tell you, friend, you are a hostage. You're a hostage of sin. You're a hostage of Satan. If you're not free, you can be free. Just think of these hostages. How helpless they were. They couldn't do anything over there in that prison. One of them tried to escape, they just spent more punishment. If those hostages are going to be released, power must come from without. And if you're going to be saved, power must come from above. You can't save yourself. You're just as helpless to save yourself as those 52 hostages were to save themselves. They couldn't do it. And neither could you. Salvation is of the Lord. How wonderful. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's free. If Christ, the Son, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The message of death has gone forth, and you're still under its sentence. If you're not a Christian, you're under the sentence of death. You're still a hostage. And you're helpless. But there's a message of light, and that's in that verse I just quoted. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Who to think of the thrill of freedom? What it must have meant to those fellows. None of us. I saw it on TV. No way would they could tell. Tears could flow. Hugs and kisses and all this. Congratulations. But only those men ad hoc knew the thrill of freedom. And it takes a born-again Christian to tell you what the thrill is of being saved. Free. Free from sin. Free from the bondage of sin. Free. Now those 52 hostages are going to die. They didn't die in prison. But time passes on, they're going to die. They'll have to yield to death. But friend, when you are saved, and you come to know Jesus Christ and the freedom of his name, you'll never die free. I shall give unto my sheep eternal life, they shall never die. Yes, you can have freedom this morning. Freedom from what? The other verse read at the worship meeting. You can be free from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that curse is a severe one. Freedom from the guilt of sin. Yes, you find that in Romans 8 1. Freedom from the dominion of sin. You find that in Romans 6. Freedom from darkness, the power of darkness. And you're in the power of darkness. Some of those fellows knew what it was to be in isolation. What darkness? You're in the darkness. And men love that darkness rather than light. That can see a man loving that kind of darkness. But you love a darkness worse than that. A darkness that doesn't have Christ. Oh yes, freedom from darkness. Freedom from the fear of man. You find that in Acts chapter 4, how the early disciples so thrilled of the love of God and so thrilled over being saved, they went forth, they didn't fear God, didn't fear man. They did fear God, but they didn't fear man. And the reason some of you are not saved this morning is you're afraid of what men will say. Fear of man bringeth a snare. It's fear of man, what other boys and people might say to you to keep you from accepting Christ and coming up and telling. You're fearing men to warn you're fearing God. And then there's freedom from the sting of death. Sixth freedom offered you in the Bible. Wonderful freedom. How do you even do that this morning? You're a hostage. You try and break and see what a struggle is. Try to come to Christ and realize that battle is war on within you, and the devil will tell you, pull it off. You're a hostage. You're not free. You're a slave to habits. You're a slave to various things. You're not free. If you can, you may be free. You may not be free from physical suffering if you get saved. Those hostages won't be free from physical suffering. They'll likely have plenty of it in the future, but they're free from the hostage situation they were in. When a person comes to Christ, they're free, they're saved, they're on the way to heaven. They may have physical suffering, but they've got that freedom. And these soldiers, or these hostages rather, may not be free from temptations. They'll get plenty of temptations. A Christian has temptations. But that doesn't nullify the fact he, in Christ, he's got the freedom that Jesus Christ offers. And these hostages may be disciplined if they commit crimes in the United States. They're not going to get off because they were hostages. Because the law is going to be carried out. A Christian has to be disciplined by God, but if this one doesn't love know the fact he's born again, he's going to heaven. Oh yes, free from the presence of sin. They are free from that prison. And the presence around there of all those aliens hollering and clamoring for their blood. Then God's offering you a freedom, a wonderful freedom. It's all found in Jesus Christ. It's yours for the taking. This is a costly freedom from Iran. I don't know whether it'll ever be computer or tablet. The cost in money involving around getting these hostages out is worth it. The peace and freedom I'm talking about this morning is costly. More costly than that. It cost Jesus Christ his blood. It's a costly free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You going to be free this morning and continue on in bondage and slavery? That's up to Jesus Christ. Could you conceive of one of those hostages? Then, no, I'm not going to be free. I'm going to stay here. You mean, you let the other 51 fellas go? Back to their loved ones, back to the earth? You need to stay here? Yeah, I'm going to stay here. What would you think of that thought? What does God think of you when he provided freedom from you and you won't take it? Others have taken it. Happy. The time of rejoicing is going on today. It's going on this. I don't know whether heaven shouted at all or rejoiced for a second when the hostage got free. And I know one thing, if you got saved this morning, heaven will rejoice. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. All heaven will rejoice if you get this freedom. The God is offering you, free from the law of happy condition. Jesus has died and there is remission. You want freedom from sin, freedom from sin, freedom from the curse of the law. You want this freedom, a happy man. In your house. Won't cost you a dime. Won't cost you a prize. What you're going to leave it for? Are you going to stay back in that kingdom? Or are you going to walk out free? You came in this chapel this morning, a hostage. Still in your sin, still on the way to hell. Still in the clutches of Satan. Still in the embrace of the world. Are you going to go out free? I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm born again. On the way to heaven, I'm free. No one can rejoice like those 52 men. Others, their loved ones and relatives, are thrilled about their release. But those men in their heart know the truth of what it is that we do. And we talk about others, and others can talk about being free, but then until you accept Jesus Christ, you don't know what freedom is. When you accept Him, how wonderful. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be not only just free, but free indeed. The door is to the picture. Will you accept Jesus Christ? He loved you, died you on the cross, and shed his blood to put all your sins away. Will you accept it? Will you accept him now? Come up after the meeting and tell me your truth. Your faith, your life. So I'll have you to do that. Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We ask thy blessing on thy glory. May precious souls be saved today. We thank thee for the release of the hostages. We thank thee more that someone here this morning were released from the bondage of sin and faith. May this be the happy experience of someone in our audience. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? 251. 251. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. 251. Have you made your choice? Will you make it as you stand and sing this hymn, 251?